Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 22, 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked with a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." May God add a blessing to the reading of this word.
Bye, Sharla. So, as all of you know, we are just 16 days away from our nation's general election. And it would take someone who literally has their head in the sand not to have noticed the negative emotions and anxiety that surround us as divisions and rhetoric around our politics keeps rising to a fevered pitch. So much so that there are rumors of violence predicted based on the outcome of the election. And though I would never tell anyone who to vote for from this pulpit, it is nevertheless my responsibility as spiritual leader of this congregation to remind us of who we are and who we are called to be in relationship with each other, as children of God and as followers of Jesus Christ. And because of that, over the past several weeks, we have been exploring how the golden rule, can y'all say it with me? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is lived out in our lives by cultivating and demonstrating in our lives the character of God that is made known to us through Jesus the Christ, the one in whom we are called to follow. And we've looked at these character traits that Jesus calls us to cultivate in order to become salt and light, to show a different way of living in the world, living under the realm or reign of God. So let's review. First, we looked at the power of kindness, which appears 250 times in the Old Testament. The word that is used for that is hesed, and it means loving kindness. We talked about the fact that kindness is not the same thing as being nice, but rather speaking with love and generosity, and most importantly, a willingness to listen as we seek to more fully understand a different point of view, perhaps, than our own. Then we considered the call to compassion, not only when conflict comes between us, but also conflict resides within us. Compassion grows when you and I are able to know ourselves and one another on a deeper level, and then act out of that greater understanding. On week 3, we talked about listening more and speaking less through the cultivation of humility. C.S. Lewis once said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking about yourself less." I think that's a really great nuance. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking about yourself less. It's remembering that we are all human, and though we have been created in the very image of God, we are not God. Amen? Therefore, humility calls us to seek to look at our neighbor as a person and not a position, as kin to us. Because remember, what did it say? We talked about the DNA and the human genome, and 99.9% of us are all exactly alike. Teeny weeny little bit makes us different. And so we are to recognize that we are kin, that we are human, that we are person to person and not a position. So that in seeing our common humanity and kindness and compassion, which God provides to us as we seek those gifts of grace through prayer. Last week, we asked the question, when we have strong differences of opinion, also known as conflict, how can we live together on uncommon ground? That when it comes to conflict, and remember, every family, every community and every church needs a little conflict, because if we address conflict early and well, it actually helps us to grow. But when it comes to conflict, what are we called to do? We looked at the importance of respect, the character trait of respect, as we recognize how dependent we are on each other and that we all have a part to play. We were reminded that what we put into the world is part of the ongoing creation of the world. So that when the going gets rough, as Parker Palmer suggests, turn to wonder, ask questions, seek to understand before running away or fighting or judging the other person. God calls us to respect by tending to one another, regarding each other, considering each other early and often. Kindness, compassion, humility, respect. All of these become the fruit of our lives as you and I commit ourselves to follow Jesus. But there's one more character trait that cannot be left out. Because without this part of the very character of God, none of the others can possibly be practiced in your life or in mine. Today, we will look again at the great commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's right. And so as we prepare once again to hear God's word to each of us, to open ourselves to hearing what God wants to say, and all of us together as Christ Church, what God wants to say to the church, will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, we give you our thanks today for who you are. Who you are and who you call us to be as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that as we continue to think about how we show up in the world, that the words of my mouth and the meditations that are within each of us in our hearts as we open ourselves to you might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength, our Redeemer, and lover of our souls. Amen. So this past week, I looked at Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address. And it's really, I was fascinated. I hadn't looked at it in a long time, but it's not long. So today after church, I would really encourage you to go and just pull it up and read it for yourself in its entirety. It's a great address that's been given during the final days of the Civil War. So that is the context for what it's written in. It had been a long, cruel, and devastatingly bloody 4 years. And what's interesting about this address is that Lincoln talks about healing, not only in the North, which was winning the war, but also in the South. And this is what he said: "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and for his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." The work, the purpose of God's people is to practice charity. Practice charity. Charity is another word for love, especially for our enemies. And that love is expressed by acts of kindness as an instrument of God's healing. And you know, I think those are really great words for us to think about at this moment in which we find ourselves. That in the midst of conflict, instead of demonizing or dehumanizing those with whom we may disagree, that you and I stand for our beliefs upon the foundation of love. As we talked about last week, conflict is nothing new. The early Christians struggled with conflict just like people do today. Adam Hamilton says that it could even be argued that the entire New Testament, the 27 books in the New Testament, all are written in the context of conflict and are partly written to address conflict and to heal conflict among Christians. So what did Jesus have to say about this subject? Well, he taught us to, among other things, love your neighbor, love your enemy, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And this one that gets me every time, don't judge or you will be judged. Jesus says to take the log out of your own eye before you try to take a splinter out of your neighbor's eye. Now, why did Jesus have to say that to his disciples, of all people? Why would he say that to those people he was closest to? Well, it's because they were doing exactly that thing. They were struggling with conflict. They weren't being loving. Instead, they were judging. And did you know that the night before Jesus' death on the cross, what he was praying? Some of you will remember what was prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, but Jesus was praying before that too. And among other things, this is what he said. Jesus said, "Father, make them one as what? We are one." And why is Jesus praying this prayer on that night, this night that he was going through the most stress of his entire life? It was because Jesus knew that everything that he had worked for could easily fall apart. He knew that not only his disciples, but we as human beings all have this tendency to divide, to be polarized, to have conflict, to have disdain, and even malice towards someone who is different from ourselves. Today's scripture reminds us that interpretation of the Torah or the law has always been difficult for humanity. The truth is that we have never been of one mind as human beings. But as we have heard in this series, when you and I put what you and I put into the world is part of the ongoing creation of the world. And so the question is this: is it possible to put love out there as always the first impulse for interpretation of what it means to follow Jesus? Because if it isn't, then you've got to ask the question, who are you following? Loving our neighbors, including relatives, coworkers, acquaintances, strangers, church family members, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves is not an easy task. Amen? But it is not an impossible task. It's not impossible. If we begin with humility, if we begin by admitting that we need God, we need the love of God to show us mercy and to give us the strength to love as God loves. We need the story of Jesus, the one who loved across the lines that had been drawn in society of his day, but also who stood up for the least and the lost. We need faith that no matter what the strain of differing positions or policies or politics, you and I will move forward in love. Disagreeing does not need to be antithetical to love and grace. And here's the thing, friends. Our future depends on all of us to work for a better world, filled with more kindness, more compassion, more humility, more respect, and more love, because this is the will and way of God. And as I was thinking on this week, I was reminded of a conversation I had late last year with Ethel Galbraith, 102 and one half years old. We were talking about the meaning of Christmas, of Christ's coming into the world. I wanted to share just a couple of moments of that conversation that I had with Ethel to be reminded of what a long life of discipleship, of following Jesus, taught her. So let's take a look on the screen together.
Well, the true meaning of Christmas is the birth of Christ.
That's right.
Man, don't forget it.
And what does that mean to you?
To me, it means that God has spent time and time and time over the years after me to be one of his followers.
Yes.
And so that's what I became, one of his followers, because I wanted to be like Jesus Christ.
And what would you say is the thing about Jesus that you want to most follow? What did he do that was very important to you?
Jesus loves everybody.
Yes, ma'am.
And I mean, it's not just a few, but it is everybody that will give him a chance.
That's right.
To save their souls and go to heaven and spend the eternal time with them.
You know what? One of the things that I have loved about you all over these years I've known you is how you share that love with others. And you've shared it with me. And the theme of Christmas this year is to eagerly embrace love. Eagerly embrace love. And so I think it's really wonderful that you said that the main thing that is about your faith is about finding ways to love God and love others the way you've been loved.
Well, you know, we might think that it's different than that God don't love everybody. But he does.
He does. And that means we need to do that too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I only knew Ethel for less than a tenth of her time on this planet. But from her words, spoken just days before she went to her eternal home, we see what's most important to her. It's not a political party. It's not a denomination. It's not a particular leader or preacher or teacher. The life that you and I are called to live as followers of Jesus Christ is all about love. It's all about agape, God's love. It is, as Paul says, a more excellent way. A more excellent way. And so as we complete the sermon series, Do Unto Others, I want to invite you to join me in reciting these words from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church that shows us the way that we are to be with each other. And so will you join me as we repeat these words together? If I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And now faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. I hope as we read that together, you considered for yourself its meaning. That the foundation of everything is love. Tina Turner, many years ago, had a song said, "What's love got to do with it?" Well, it has everything to do with it. Not as a feeling, not as an emotion, but as a way of living our life out as followers of Jesus Christ. It is everything. And so I pray for you and for me that we will find that love to be what we stand upon in the weeks ahead and every day of our lives, but especially as we are moving into our election cycle, that we might demonstrate God's love to one another, be graceful to one another, be compassionate and kind and respectful and humble, to recognize that through all of that, God's love shines through us. May it be so. And the people of God said, amen and amen.